it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
You're listening to the Big House Bleachers Podcast.
Welcome to the Big House Bleachers Podcast, proud member of the Block M Podcast Network, brought to you by Fans First Sports. I'm Michael Smeltzer. I am here in Ann Arbor, Michigan at an Airbnb. I'm currently de-thawing from scooting around town on those little annoying scooters that they have around here. Attended the spring game. I'm also here with my co-host and partner in crime, Matt Hartwell. Mr. Hartwell watched the game from his comfy, temperature-appropriate home in Florida. So, Matt, how are you, man?
I'm good, buddy. I'm a little jealous. Wish I was up there with you enjoying some of that great in-person spring game action. But have to say, I am loving the weather down here in Florida. It's nice and toasty. But again, you know, you can't go wrong being there in attendance for a Michigan spring game. So excited to talk football with you, buddy.
Second year in a row, I've gone to the quote-unquote spring game. Last year, it was rainy and cold and windy. This year, it was just cloudy and cold and windy. There was no rain, luckily, so it made it a little bit more tolerable, a little bit better of a show out there. It was probably like 40, 50,000 people. If you ask Ryan Day to count how many people were there, he would probably say 170, 180,000 based on the way that he counts people in the stands. But Matt, do you want to dive into these position groups and just talk about the game as a whole? Early and often, it seemed as though Michigan wanted to establish the run on both sides, the Mays team and the Blue team. Really nothing new there. When you promote an offensive line coach to be the head coach, that's what you expect. Let's jump right in. Quarterback position, which seems to be the position everybody wants to talk about. And the guy that everybody wants to talk about, Alex Orji. How'd you feel about your boy?
I felt good, man. You know, let's get this out of the way a little bit, because there's a little bit of, I don't want to say slander, I don't want to use that word, but there's a little bit of negativity, I feel, that's kind of circulating around the quarterback play of Michigan today. A little bit of overreacting happening. I thought Orji did good. You know what I mean? He, at the end of the day, he completed 72% of his passes, Ran one in, could have had another one probably. You know, I think somebody got a hand on him at some point, so the play was blown dead there at the end. But all things considered, for a spring game, I thought Orji did relatively well. Who I want to really touch on is Davis Warren. I mean, like, that, how unexpected is that, right? I mean, the guy that nobody's been talking about after his poor play in the non-con last year just comes out of nowhere, starts the game for the Maze team, delivers some bombs. I mean, he just was playing out of his mind. I wasn't unimpressed with Alex Orji, but I have to say that after today's game, I think it's a little bit closer of a race possibly between him and Davis Warren than I may have originally thought.
Yeah, Davis Warren's ceiling is probably somewhere close to what we saw today. You know, like I don't think his ceiling is much higher than that necessarily. And so that's what makes me a little bit nervous about Davis Warren being the guy. I mean, I love Davis Warren ever since his story of beating leukemia and then coming out and playing really well in the spring game 2 years ago and getting, he kind of struggled last year, actually. I think he did what all of the backups did. He got a few drives throughout the year and he struggled, but is Davis Warren going to take us to the promised land against Texas or against Oregon? You know, it's hard to say. Is Alex Orji? Well, I don't really know, but if Alex Orji's hitting on all cylinders and he's breaking tackles and he hits a few bomb, you know, passes, I think much higher ceiling. Now, the guy I want to transition to, who I think probably has the highest ceiling of them all that just isn't ready yet, is Jaden Davis. I'm very excited to watch the maturation of Jaden Davis. Has some pocket presence, but he's not really a runner, right? He doesn't really run a whole lot. But he looks like he can maneuver. He had a couple plays. That one play where he rolled out and Peyton O'Leary almost made a spectacular catch. He showed some good presence there. His first pass. He showed a little touch on that little out route. Do I want Jaden Davis to start week one? Probably not. Do I think that he's got like an outside dark horse chance of starting week 12 against Ohio State? Maybe, you know, maybe. So it'll be interesting. No Tuttle today. We don't really know where Tuttle falls. He's still, recovering from an injury, but didn't see Tuttle. And Jaden Dennegal was kind of more of the same. It's like you're like, oh, and then you're like, oh, you know, that's Jaden Dennegal right there. You like, you think he's going to do it? And then he's like, oh, yeah, well, there's the mistakes, you know? So I think Jaden Dennegal will land himself kind of deeper in that rotation.
Yeah, I would agree, especially after his play today. I know Kirk Campbell's very impressed by him so far through spring ball, but I think he just has some work to do, especially just with polishing his game more a little bit. Who knows how that whole situation will play out, if it winds up in a transfer or if he ends up earning a job someday here at Michigan. But I think that, you know, he just has a little bit of a way to go. I think what you said makes a lot of sense about Davis Warren and probably what we saw today being his ceiling. But, you know, as far as this Michigan team is concerned, like, Sharon Moore is going to run it down everybody's throats. I feel pretty confident in that. I think you just need a guy that's just a little bit better than Cade McNamara. Am I right? If you're going to, I just think with how this team is built, with how they run the rock, obviously you miss the dynamic things that JJ McCarthy can do on the ground and through the air. But if you can just find a reliable candidate to put in there that can drive the football, not turn it over, and can make efficient plays happen, then I think you have a good thing going with how this team is built.
This schedule does not lend itself to like a Cade McNamara quarterback winning 12 games like Cade McNamara won for us. You know, I feel like a Cade McNamara maybe wins 8 games in the regular season. on this schedule. And that's no shade to Cade, but this is a gauntlet. I don't remember playing a schedule like this ever. And this is kind of the new age of college football with conference realignment. But this is the 1 year you can go 10-2 and easily make the playoffs. Michigan goes 10-2, they're in. There's actually a path for 9-3 and getting in with this schedule. So let's keep going down the position groups, because we'll have all offseason to talk about how we think the team is going to do. Overall, good day for the quarterbacks. I wouldn't say great day. And let me just ask you the question that's floating around. Do you believe Michigan should pursue a transfer quarterback in the portal?
I don't. And, you know, there's two sides to that coin. One is the available candidates that are floating around in the transfer portal, right? I don't think that really there's nothing that like jumps off the page at me, right? I mean, there's a guy probably that you could bring in to pad some depth there, but I don't know if there's a guy in the transfer portal that like you look at and you say, oh, bring him in to be the starter for this football team. You know what I mean? Like, I'm all for pursuing a transfer, I guess, if like that's going to make people a little more comfortable. But, you know, I think you've got a bunch of guys that really haven't had the chance to prove themselves in like some real important game action. And, you know, it's time to see what some of those guys are made of. You know, a few of these guys like are not chumps coming out of high school. You know, they were rated well, just as much as many of these other quarterbacks were in the transfer portal right now. So I think the time is to just like let it ride. You know what I mean? Like, I know that's not like a very popular take on social media right now, but we don't know what we have. And as far as today goes, like, it's the spring game. You know what I mean? Like, this wasn't Texas. This wasn't Ohio State. Like, it was for fun. It was for hot dog. It was for steaks. You know what I mean? I don't think that there's really anything to hit the panic button about right this moment. I think that there's a starter in there somewhere, and we just need to kind of see where it all plays out.
Alex Orji's the starter. I'm going to go ahead and say it. He's the guy, and even though I wouldn't consider his performance today a great performance, I think he showed what he needed to show to be the starter. And here's what I mean by that. Alex Orji's going to break tackles. We already know that. We knew that last year. If you need a guy that's going to break tackles and make plays, Alex Orji can do it. Now the question becomes, can he move the ball down the field through the air? He was not the most accurate downfield today, but he showed a little zip on his arm, which was fine. What I liked about what Alex Orji did today that gives me confidence is when he came in that fourth quarter drive and he started taking what the defense was giving him. Did you notice that? He hit 5 yards, 7 yards, 3 yards. That wasn't because it was just like, we don't trust him to throw it down the field. That was Alex Orji not forcing it. That gives me a lot of confidence that he's going to, because that's all we need, right? I mean, you got Donovan Edwards looked like he was ready to run for 300 yards a game today. He came out there and was just like, you know, the normal Donovan energy, and he really looked like he's going to have a good year this year. I think the national championship game kind of woke him up. So you got Donovan, Khalil, some other good running backs. The O-line, who we're going to talk about shortly, I think looks really good. If Alex Orji can just take what the defense gives him, this is at least a 9-win or 10-win team. If he can make a few really big plays in some really big moments, you got a 10, 11, 12 win team. And so,
and I mean, you saw him today engineer successful drives, right? We saw it at the start of the game. We saw it at the end of the game. And he was able to efficiently move the ball down the field, whether it meant that he had to run or pass. And he made good decisions, you know? So, and again, he completed 72% of his passes. Like, it's not like he did poorly. You know, there were a few throws where it was like, I mean, the first throw, that one was kind of, but like at the end of the day, again, this is the spring game. Like, it's not the Natty. It's not the college football playoff. Like, it's not like an important make or break football game. They're out there, they're having fun, they're trying not to show too much on tape. So just take it with a grain of salt and just kind of try to take some of the positives away. Like, we don't need to hit the panic button and like call to the transfer portal gods for somebody to come save us. Like, I don't believe that this team is in danger based off of what we saw today.
Well, and you got Alex Orji's one of the most athletic quarterbacks in the country. And then you've got Jaden Davis, who's one of the most high profile recruits in the country. And so if you go out to get somebody from the portal, you have to get somebody that's all of those things and has experience. And that guy's just not there. You know what I mean? Like, you just don't have that guy. So I'm with you. The portal doesn't make sense. I think we're gonna win because of Alex Orji in those first six games, or we're gonna lose because of Alex Orji in those first six games. After those first six games, depending on how he does, I think there's a chance that we see Jaden Davis in the rotation. I also think there's a chance that we see Davis Warren in the rotation, but I don't think things are going to be going well if we see Davis Warren in the rotation. That's just kind of, you know, how I feel. But let's talk running back. I briefly touched on Donovan Edwards. He is, I would say, he's the clear RB1 this year. I know you and I had some, hunches about Khalil Mullings. I felt like today Edwards benefited from some better blocking on the blue team than what Mullings got on the Mays team. So Mullings didn't do too much. Donovan Edwards looked really good. Any other running back that stuck out to you?
Yeah, I mean, Ben Hall, he did well. I was really impressed with Tavi Dunlap.
Yeah.
It'll be, you know, I don't know if it's kind of bold to say that, you know, he could potentially surpass Ben Hall based off of what we saw today. You know, I know he's been waiting around a long time. He's done some things in garbage time here and there, but I was impressed with what I saw from Dunlap today, but also, you know, impressed with Ben Hall. So I think between those two is where you find your running back three potentially. Jordan Marshall, I'd love to see more of him. That guy's going to be a stud. Cole Cabana didn't play today, I think. I believe he was dealing with something. So nope, Cabana today. But yeah, I was really encouraged with Donovan Edwards' performance. Only came in for a few plays to start the game and then kind of presumed the role of coach after that. He was all over the field in the interviews. You know, had his hands on his knees like in typical Harbaugh fashion, coaching up the guys. it was real fun to watch that. But, you know, I thought Edwards was hitting all the right holes, doing all the things that, you know, you would have wished you would have seen from him earlier last season. I think that, you know, he's been putting all of that to good use going into this next season. And I think we're going to see a vastly improved product from him than what we saw a year ago.
I really do too. I really do too. I think last year was an outlier and kind of Donovan Edwards is a strange case in the football world, right? Like last year we were saying like this guy might outrush Blake Corum, and now you look back on that retrospectively and you're like, well, that was stupid, you know? But actually,
it's deja vu, right?
Because
now we're here talking about, prior to today, at least, talking about Khalil Mullings potentially surpassing Donovan Edwards.
Right.
It's like, maybe we need to learn a lesson from our misgivings of last year, thinking Dono was going to surpass Blake, and just give Dono the benefit of the doubt and just know that this team's going to be in good hands with him running the ball as the starting back.
And we just got to know what we have with him. Blake Corum was going to throw like two jump cuts and a spin, you know, between the tackles and get you 8 yards. Donovan Edwards might only get 3 yards on that play, but what Donovan's going to do on some other plays where Blake would get 20, the Don's going to get 70. You know what I mean? Like he's that like one cut and gone kind of player. And so we just know what we have with him. And we saw in the national championship how he can blow a game wide open. And you know, if he's struggling to get going a little bit and he's not hitting those long runs, I'm very confident with Khalil Mullings and Benjamin Hall running between the tackles. And like you said, Jordan Marshall could be the best freshman running back in the country. You got him and Taylor Tatum and a couple other guys that could be the best freshman running back in the country. We're going to have to do a wellness check on Cole Cabana. Did they show him on the broadcast? Was he even at the game? I haven't seen Cole Cabana in a minute, man. Is he alive? Is he okay?
Get this kid's face on a milk carton somewhere.
Seriously. I mean, I was so hyped when we landed him as a recruit, and it just feels like we haven't seen him really even touch a football since he got to Ann Arbor. So if he does, I was telling Jared this earlier today, if he doesn't get touches this year, he's a transfer guy. You know, he's going to go somewhere else, and you can't even blame him. But it's a little early to be talking like that, so I'm going to slow my roll a little bit with that.
I don't think you're too off, though. I did have that thought during the spring game, you know, because when you really look at it, like, this is a loaded running back room for the Michigan Wolverines, and you love it, but it also makes you nervous, right? Because then you could lose some of these super talented backs to the portal in today's day and age, and obviously don't want that to happen, but, you know, depth and talent is never a bad thing. So, you know, it's all going to even itself out as it always does.
All right. Well, speaking of Donovan Edwards, do you want to talk about the pass catchers? We might see Edwards catch some balls this year. Also, there were some question marks about receivers. There were some question marks about tight ends kind of behind Colston Loveland. I think we got some answers today, actually. Let's start with the wide receivers. Let's just go back and forth. Who do you want to talk about first?
I mean, is there anyone else that we could kick this thing off with other than Frederick Moore? I mean, there are spring game overreactions out there. Like, there are some takes. Frederick Moore's talent, I do not think, is an overreaction. I think that he was making some plays. He was making some moves. He was making guys miss, making catches, you know, had like 76 yards on two catches, something like that. And, you know, I just think that this kid is going to be, he could potentially push Morris, I think, even for the wide receiver one role, depending on how you view a wide receiver one, you know, who gets the most passing yards or what have you. But
I think that's an overreaction. I think that, and now I'm with you that I don't think it's an overreaction to say that what we saw was real. I think what he did was solidified himself as the wide receiver three. I think Morris and Morgan are pretty clear one and two on this team.
I mean, I don't know, man. I think that this kid, the way that he caught that ball, right, around the first down marker, and then took it for an additional 40 or 50 yards, cutting across the field, making guys miss, taking it all the way. Like, that's some pro-level shit there. Like, I was really encouraged by what I saw. Now, I don't think that that means that Michigan is set at the wide receiver position. I think that Kirk Campbell even referenced this after the game and in the post game or interviews or whatever, but he mentioned that Michigan will be pursuing wide receivers in the portal, you know, just for depth reasons, right? Because
they fucking better.
As good as Morris, Morgan, and Moore are, you know, you don't have too much behind there. I was really impressed with Kendrick Bell, the younger Bell, shades of Ronnie blocking downfield, catching that deep ball from Davis Warren. You know, I was impressed with him today as well. So, but, you know, beside him, I think you really have to get some guys behind that trio of wide receivers, or else Michigan is going to be in trouble. You know, they're going to be in trouble if they lose one of those guys. And Samaj is small. You know what I mean? One of the biggest advantages that Michigan had in their utilization of Samaj Morgan last year was the surprise element, right? Nobody knew who Samaj Morgan was. Like, they used him very infrequently. With the depth that Michigan has at wide receiver, like, he's probably going to be on the field and also just given that he's a sophomore now, he's going to be on the field a lot more. He's going to be able to be picked apart on tape a little bit easier. They're going to remember all those times that he scorched them last year. You need a bigger bodied wide receiver to cycle in there, a couple of them. So hopefully they do find somebody that they can slot in there, but still very encouraged with what I saw at the wide receiver position today.
I agree. I when you talk about those top four or five playmakers, you like what you see, but we're a couple, you know, turf toes away from having to line up Donovan Edwards as the Y receiver or something crazy. Like, we just don't have a lot of options. Now, Michigan might throw a lot of two wide receiver sets out there, some I formation, some two tight end set. You know, we're going to see that big, that 12 formation that they throw out there, mammoth, all the things that we're used to seeing from Michigan. I felt justified, vindicated by Kendrick Bell's performance today. I don't know if you remember, but in our spring draft, I reached and I drafted him a little higher than what would be expected. And it's just because I really think the kid's going to be good. Seeing him, he made a good play before that long touchdown too. And so seeing him have some good plays today, it just gives me confidence that we've got another good receiver kind of waiting around. And then Peyton O'Leary could potentially be a guy as well. But man, nothing would make me happier than going and getting an experienced, 6'5", big, tall receiver from the transfer portal. If we could get one guy like that, this offense would change significantly.
O'Leary was kind of getting bullied out there. There was no spring game ridiculous performance from Peyton O'Leary today. You know, he had a catch early on, but Jair Hill, other guys had him wrapped up. He didn't do so hot, but we'll get to the secondary later. Let's move to the tight ends. You know, I like the big boys in there. What'd you think of the tight ends today?
Well, Colston Loveland is the best tight end in the country. We didn't really see enough of him to know that necessarily, but I think we all knew that when Brock Bowers moved on from Georgia, okay, like, this is Colston Loveland's position, basically. He's the best in the country. Now, Marlon Klein was the guy getting a lot of love coming into this game, and I see why. I see why. He's an incredible player, and actually when Orji came in and started taking what the defense was giving him, what the defense was giving him was Marlon Klein, and little crossers. And I really liked what I saw from him. He got banged up. I think he got a concussion in the game, actually. I don't know if you guys saw that on TV or not, but he got a little, his head got a little banged up and he had to jog off and it kind of slowed him down. But man.
Well, initially I thought it might be a concussion, but then he came back in, I think like 15 minutes later. He did. He came back in 15 minutes later and saw it. Because I too thought he was concussed, but he did come back into the game.
You're right. I'm not so sure if he should have. Like, I was sitting there watching him, and I watched him, like, he looked like he got kind of like briefly knocked out,
He did. He kind of had a little like head wiggle movement. Like, he was moving kind of funky. So I don't know. You could be right, but I would hope that, that Marlon Klein isn't risking a potential concussion to make a play in the spring game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a neurologist or anything, but I saw Marlon Klein get a little banged up. But I think the kind of revelations in this game were Deacon Tonelli. I don't know how to say his last name. Deacon looked fantastic, and then Zach Marshall looked like he was ready to go too. So, there were some high points for the tight ends, I thought.
Yeah, I did see Zach Marshall getting in there, was very impressed with Deacon Tonelli. He was fired up making a couple plays there. So I think that the tight end play overall, an A+, in my opinion.
I agree. I think A, but when you start with Colston Loveland, the question becomes, do you have another guy after him? And I think Marlon Klein is going to be that Luke Schoonmaker guy.
Kind of looks like Scooney a little bit too, just frame wise.
He's big. Yeah, he moves better than he looks like he should be able to. Yeah, he'll be an NFL player. Marlon Klein will be an NFL player. Michigan has a long tradition of sending their tight end to the NFL. I think Marlon Klein will be one of those guys. Let's talk about the O-line. You want to talk about the big boys? I think it's more fun to start with what the blue team lined up. I got kind of excited when I saw the blue team's O-line. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm going to have to go back and watch the game. I'm just going off what I saw kind of.
You were correct about Crippen. I know we were talking about that before the show. You were right about Crippen. I was mistaken on the jersey number, I think.
Yeah, I saw him in there. So here's what I saw. I saw on the blue team, Blake Frazier playing left guard, which that was exciting. We'll talk about him in a second. Amir Herring was playing left guard. Blake Frazier was playing left tackle. I had Raheem Anderson, center position. Freshman Jake Garnera, who actually had a couple really big blocks early on, which was fun to see. Sometimes when you see these guys in their freshmen, they kind of look small, and you're like, they're going to get bullied. Some of these dudes, I mean, Blake Frazier is not small, but some of these dudes made some plays. And then Andrew Gentry looked like he was lined up in right tackle for the blue team. Before we go to the Mays team, I'll just touch on these guys. Blake Frazier was wearing number 77, and man, that looks good on him. Josiah Stewart did blow him the fuck up. I don't know if you saw that. It was early.
See that.
I was watching him specifically, and I was like, oh my god, like he's like Jake Long, you know, this guy's. And then Josiah Stewart was like, get on your heels, and I was like, okay, maybe he still needs to, you know, hit that weight room a little bit, but. They all looked pretty good out of that group right there. Andrew Gentry's probably your only starter, I would guess.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, I would agree. I was really impressed with Raheem Anderson. I know he's competing with Crippen for that starting role. I think Crippen ends up with that starting role. I think many are of that belief, but I was really impressed with Raheem Anderson. I mean, he was just pushing guys back. I know it's the spring game, but you know, he was looking like the Olu Watimi of the spring game for his time in there for a little bit. But no, you're correct on all of the positions that you just named. Blake Frazier, Jake Garnera, those guys were getting a little bit blown up, younger guys, but you know, they were hanging in there. They were doing their thing. And they'll obviously, you know, get beefed up through that Sharon Moore, Grant Newsom smash system. But yeah, you know, I was still impressed with the play of the young guys that we saw today.
And before we talk about the Mays team, I'm glad you brought up Raheem Anderson, because here's what I think about like a good center. A good center kind of makes his guards look better. And I felt like that's what happened early on with the blue team. When Donovan Edwards started the game, he looked like he had creases like 3, 4, 5 plays in a row. I mean, hell, we went through whole chunks of the season last year where it didn't seem like Donovan Edwards had any creases. And so Raheem Anderson, Jake Garnera, Amir Herring, I couldn't even really tell which one of the three was moving the bodies the best. I got to go back and watch the tape, but the middle of that line was playing well.
Yeah, agreed. And especially to your point, to start the game when Donovan Edwards was hitting those holes, when they were all really fresh, I think that they started off very well. You know, there were some, I think they were the ones that had gave up the most sacks on the day, right? Was it the blue team? I think gave up like 3 or 4 sacks on the day.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. I knew Orgy took a couple, 1 or 2. So yeah, that's probably right.
Yeah, I believe so. I think they gave up the most sacks on the day of the two lines. But you know, still, you got two rookies playing on there. So I think that it was a little bit to be expected, but they still managed really well. And especially to your point with Donovan Edwards' early action, I think that there was some cohesiveness there to build upon.
And then you got on the Mays side, Evan Link started. I want to say he was...
right tackle, left tackle, I believe.
Yeah, he was right tackle, and then Nathan Afobe was right guard. Greg Crippen, and then Dominique Gudice was on the, I believe, left guard. And then there's no mistaking where Miles Hinton was, man. That guy sticks out. I thought he looked ready for the moment, and he looked big. He was wearing number 78. You know, just which to me, like, you got Kenneth Grant on one side, and then you got Miles Hinton on the other. He was playing left tackle, so he looked really good.
Yeah, you know, I thought that the Mays offensive line did particularly well this game. I thought that they held it together. A lot less youth to go around on that side, I think. But overall, I think that they were the best of the two lines on the day.
Yeah, well, much better in pass pro, right? I think Davis Warren benefited from that. I felt like they struggled to get going a little bit with Khalil Mullings in between the tackles. But I'm with you. They sort of maintained their integrity a little better, right? Like they held a little bit better. Maybe held is not the right word to use for offensive lines. You know what I mean though. But the good thing about this that we know is a couple starters didn't even play. Josh Prebe, who is going to start, wasn't even in the game. And then Giovanni Elhadi wasn't even in the game. And so can you piece together a good offensive line from the rest of those guys? Absolutely. Can you piece together 10 guys in the rotation like you could last year? I'm going to go ahead and say yeah. Like at least 8. There's at least 8 that could rotate into that line in a lot of different places, very similar to last year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to tell you what's most encouraging about it is the fact that Prebe and Elhadi didn't play, right? Because those are projected to be probably two of the better guys on this offensive line, you know? So being that they didn't play and we saw the type of performance that we did out of both lines at times today, I think that it's pretty encouraging.
Yeah, a guy that we haven't talked about is Jeff Percy. He got in, had a holding call against him, so there was some struggles there. Okay, let's move on from the O-line. Who's our next position group here? D-line. I'm going to be honest. I need to go back and watch the tape, man. I struggled to keep up with what was going on that D-line. I saw Derek Moore get some good action. I saw Josiah Stewart get some good action early. I'd like to, when I go back and rewatch, I'd like to really look at the interior D lineman, because that's what I didn't focus on as much as I should have. But, you know, when you're in the stadium, you got the lights, you got the, you know, the Jumbotron, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, really, I think the top guy that stood out on the day, you know, I don't think Michigan's primary starters were getting too much action in this one, but Keyshawn Bennett was very impressive. I know he was also really impressive in last year's spring game, but Bennett, one sack, two tackles for loss, was a force along the edge there. We saw Derek Moore dropping back into coverage early in the game, so we get to see a little bit of Wink Martindale defense at work there. You know, they use their edges more like outside linebackers. So we'll probably see more of that over the course of the season with Wink Martindale dropping Derek Moore, Josiah Stewart back at times if they need to. But, you know, also TJ Guy, I thought was very impressive. I think that he did very well, was all over the place, frequently involved in quite a few plays. So I was really impressed with TJ Guy, Keyshawn Bennett. I don't know if those will be, I'm sure TJ Guy might be, but I don't know
yeah.
if those guys will be the ones to round out that edge rotation behind Stewart and Moore. But, you know, we'll see. I think it was very, if anything, very encouraging to see some of the rotational pieces that are more of the unknowns getting involved today.
Absolutely. I'm excited to see how kind of that front seven of the defense evolves. I had eyes on TJ Guy a little bit. Ernest Hausman, I mean, if we're going to kind of start talking about linebackers, Ernest Hausman made some plays. I forgot to identify Jayshon Barham. When you were watching on TV, did you see some good Jayshon action? I can't remember exactly how he did.
You know, I had seen like a couple tweets about him like being on the field like prior to the game, but I didn't really hear his number called too much. I haven't done a thorough rewatch of the game yet. I don't think he registered any stats when I was looking up the stats prior to this podcast. So I don't think if he did play that he got involved in too much. But I was still encouraged. You know, Hausman got in there. He made a play at one point, I believe. Cole Sullivan was a part of some stuff.
Yes. Cole Sullivan
was very encouraging, was very encouraged by that. And our guy that we were just dissing on last week, Jimmy Rolder, had a spectacular performance out of nowhere. Everybody's been hating on Jimmy Rolder. My guy had one sack, two tackles for loss on the day. So I thought that, you know, he was really impressive. And it might be a little early to start ruling out Rolder at this point.
I'll believe it when I see it. You know, we've been hanging on to the Rolder speculation for a while. TJ Guy is definitely going to be in that edge rotation. Breon Ishmael made a nice play on the edge, which is not a guy I'm super familiar with, and I kind of looked him up on the roster and was like, oh, that was a nice play and a nice little tackle for loss. So yeah, Jayshon is a guy I would like to see more of for sure. You want to get into the secondary? I feel like the secondary is a fun unit to talk about after this game, because there are a lot of questions, and then you know, we got a lot of answers actually too. So I'm gonna start with the guy that I was super impressed with this game, DJ Waller. I felt like DJ Waller showed up. He was all over the place. He was a ball hawk. He had that one interception that he fumbled and gave back to the Maize team. But even with that being said, he came up with the big fourth down stop on that same drive. And he just seemed to be ready. He was gravitating to the ball quite a bit. So I was impressed with DJ.
He was very ready, and I think that that's a kid that is ready to start if that's what happens. He was making some plays, had that drop of the intercept, or not the drop, but the fumble of the interception. But, you know, still made an interception. He was making some plays. I was very encouraged by his play and the role that he could potentially fill at that CB2 spot. Let's talk about nickel, right? Because we've had this conversation a couple times over the last couple weeks, and it's just as you and I suspected. Zeke Berry and Jaden McBurrows getting snaps at the nickel. Those guys look like dead even at this point. I don't even really know what to make of it. I think that they were both flying around all over the field, looking very Mikey-esque, right? So I was very excited about them, probably just as much as I was about DJ Waller. I think that, you know, there's no replacement for a guy like Mikey Sainra still, but, you know, I think that you've got two good potential candidates in Jaden McBurrows and Zeke Berry that you're looking at for that.
Yeah, actually, you know, that secondary is looking deeper than I expected it to. We still haven't talked about Jair Hill, who made an excellent tackle, a touchdown-saving tackle on Donovan Edwards early in the game. Keyshawn Harris, Makari Page was steady, which is, you know, kind of what you would expect in a game like this from Makari Page. So all of a sudden, you know, with Will Johnson kind of leading the charge, even with the Rodmore injury and Keon Sab transferring, this secondary is looking pretty good. And maybe that's why Keon Sab transferred. Maybe on the inside, it wasn't such a given that he was going to be the guy. So maybe we're seeing some of these other guys step up.
Yeah, agreed. But, you know, I think that you're completely right. I think the secondary is going to be just as talented as it was. I mean, maybe not as talented, but just as dangerous as it was last season, you know, minus the loss of Rod Moore. But, you know, you also saw today like more shades of that Wink Martindale defense. There's going to be times where Michigan has just one safety on the field, might not have as much of a need for multiple safeties based off of, you know, the type of scheme that they're running now. So I think that obviously it hurts losing Rod Moore, but you've still got a whole plethora of guys there in that secondary that can step up at their position to, you know, make some dangerous plays for this Michigan defense.
Overall, it was fun to have football to watch. You know, the kickers struggled. That was odd. You know, Tommy Doman shanked one off the, you know, the right side of his foot. And then I was excited about Adam Samaha. He came in and got that first field goal, and then he missed that second one, which, you know, I was like, oh, come on. I was at that weird angle in the stadium where you couldn't tell how badly he missed it. It looked like it was close to me. I don't know. You can't be missing little gimmies like that.
It was fairly close, but yeah, to your point, you don't like to see your kicker missing a 30-yard field goal in a low-pressure spring game. So, you know, it could be something that's concerning. It could be an overreaction. You know, it could have just been a mistake. We've obviously seen Doman, you know, play well enough to be a starting punter. So there's a little bit more sure-handedness there with, you know, him and him potentially improving by the start of next season. But, you know, I think that, you know, Samaha, you got to hope that things aren't the way they seem based off of what we saw today. But if so, you got to get to work in the portal and bring somebody in, another James Turner or something.
Yeah, Doman's the guy. And then there is a kicker that just became available in the portal that was like a 96% kick. You know, one of these guys is like a James Turner type. I can't remember what school he's from. But I don't know. Adam Samaha was like the number one kicker, you know, recruit. So I say we give him a chance. And, you know, reminding everybody, JJ McCarthy threw an interception in the spring game last year, right? So it's easy to, yeah, you know, you don't want to overreact on one bad play. I mean, you know, you got, we're over here criticizing Alex Orji when JJ threw a pick in the spring game.
That's what I'm saying. Like, at the end of the day, like, it's just not worth the overreaction. Like, it's the spring game, and like, at the end of the day, they played well enough for it being a spring game, you know, in my opinion, at least.
Yeah. And this is the reigning national champion team, you know? And so you can sit there and pick apart anything in the spring game, and it's like, well, they're the reigning national champs. And so there's not really anything else you can say. But one thing that I was really excited about, that all you lovely Michigan fans that were watching the game from the comforts of your own home probably knew way before I did. I'm just now catching up to everything Dusty May was doing during this game. Actually, Dusty May was at the game. He went out on midfield and said, expect some more good news very soon. And so I tweeted that, you know, and he wasn't kidding when he said soon. But before the game was over, he had landed two more commits. So I'm going to go ahead and lead by talking about the guys we landed yesterday, because to me, you know, those are the dudes that we need to talk about. But then today, it's really rounding out this squad. So Justin Pippen, Scottie Pippen's kid. I haven't looked at his game too closely, but from what I've seen, I mean, he's got a pretty big frame, just like his dad, and the dude was draining threes when I looked up some of his tape. So he should be good. That's an incoming freshman, you know, son of legend Scottie Pippen. And then, his name just escaped me. The dude from North Texas that we landed yesterday.
Reuben
what is
Jones.
His name? Reuben Jones. So this, to me, is a very nice pickup. I really love that he averaged 3.7 assists per game. Watched a little bit of him. He's a creative scorer, good passer. I think he was about 6'5". He's going to be a good player, really good player.
Yeah, and he's a winner, right? I mean, he is, I believe, the winningest player in North Texas history. So he won a lot of games there, on top of, you know, what you mentioned about his averages and stuff. So I think bringing in a guy like this at a position where you need to fill spots on this Michigan team is the perfect fit. So really happy with that pickup.
Yeah, likewise. And then during the game today, I'm going to let you take this one. We landed two more guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll take the first one, Danny Wolf of Yale. You know, I'm incredibly excited about him. I actually threw a clip of some highlights of his up on Twitter, and you know, he was going crazy last season. So I think that I forget what his averages are. I think like 14 a game, 12 a game, something like that. Nearly averages a double-double a game. So bringing in a guy like this after you lose a Terrace Reed is incredible. And, you know, no shade against Terrace, but, you know, he's got some polishing to do on his own game, you know? So I think to bring in a guy like Danny Wolf, it's an instant improvement at that position. I think Michigan could essentially field a better roster and finish the year with a better record just with the guys that they have now at this point. But I'm really impressed with the pickups of the last couple days.
Yeah, so Justin Pippen, Reuben Jones, Danny Wolf. Am I missing one? My head is spinning because I was at this game. And so did we land another one? Was it Vlad Golden committed today? Or I thought there was somebody else that committed today.
I don't believe so. I think it was just Danny Wolf, but I could be mistaken. I don't think I saw anything in the Maize and Brew Slack channel, though, about anybody else.
Got it. Well, Vlad Golden is expected to. Homeboy from Auburn is expected to. We really got a team that's, I think Connie Ruths is expected to still come. I mean, we got a team that's coming
together.
I know
Roddy Gale, junior of Ohio State, was on campus today for the spring game, as well as Trey Donaldson. So yeah. I think before this weekend is over, we see another commitment from one of those two guys. I'm just guessing.
Well, I think we almost see a complete roster by the end of the month. I think the portal closes May 1st for basketball, and so I wouldn't be surprised if he puts his entire roster together at that point. The question is, you know, John L. and some of these FAU guys, do they come to Michigan? Do they not? I think at this point, they've fallen a little silent besides the Vlad Golden transfer. So it looks like we're going to have a couple seven-footers on the team next year, which is never a bad thing.
It looks like Elijah Martin of FAU just entered the portal as well. So maybe another name to keep your eye on there.
There you go. Anybody from St. Mary's or FAU at this point is just throw them on the list. So, well, all right, man. It's fun to be excited about basketball. It's fun to be excited about football. Both of our head coaches are currently undefeated at Michigan, which is, you know, nice. It's kind of a cheap thing to say about Dusty May, but whatever. We'll go there. And then we got the NFL draft coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, very excited about that. A lot of talk over the last few weeks about where JJ will land. Where do you think JJ goes, Mike?
I'll tell you where I want him to go, and then I'll tell you where I think he'll go. I have a weird feeling that he's going to go to, like, Washington or New York, just because I don't want him to. I think those are terrible places to go. I think they'll try to eat him alive. You know, I do believe he's ready for the pressure and can play well. But if I had to bet on it, I would say Vikings get him at 5. That would be my guess. If I had to pick any team that I think would be perfect for JJ, it would be the Broncos. I think the Broncos, or maybe even the New England Patriots, would be the best place for JJ. I just don't want him to go to New York or Washington, honestly.
I'll tell you, I would love to see him. I'm not like a Patriots fan or anything, but I just think it would be so cool for JJ to, you know, end up at the same team where Tom Brady had most of his success at. I think that would be an incredibly cool starting point for one of Michigan's greatest quarterbacks of all time to end up at. I do think that that he ends up getting picked up by Minnesota, whether that's with the 5th or the 11th pick or what have you. But I think that he does end up in Minnesota and he does slide a bit. But you never know. There's been a lot of hype building about JJ. A lot of people, you know, trying to push that JJ narrative on ESPN. So I think that we could potentially see a situation. I wouldn't be shocked to see him be taken by the New England Patriots or, you know, around that that area.
Yeah, I mean, he's going top 5 probably. Like I at this point, I think he's improved his stock enough, but you know, he's not falling out of the top 10. You know, when we started talking about him, it was, is he a first round pick? Is he not? I think at this point we know that whoever gets JJ is going to have to get into the single digits there. Let's wrap up the show by just asking, you know, how many players do we think get drafted from Michigan? The all-time record is 15. Georgia did that. 18 guys were at the pro game, so I'll let you do the honors. How many guys get drafted?
I'm going to say 17. Okay. I'm going to say 17. And I honestly think, Mike, I think that Michigan players are going to do very well in this draft. You know, I think that there's kind of a general like sense or expectation maybe that it's going to be similar to the past 2 years, you know, where we saw like, you know, one guy go in the first round and then like one guy go in the second round and then everybody goes. I think that there's going to be a little bit more of a desire to grab some of these Michigan guys. You know, I think that Michigan style of play, the way that they handled business, the way they handled business last year, I think that there's a lot of respect for guys out there like Roman Wilson, Blake Corum, J.J. McCarthy, Chris Jenkins. You know, I think Zach Zinter, Trevor Keegan. I think we see a lot of these guys get taken, you know, in the first few rounds. You know, I think you see a lot of Michigan players off the boards more towards the front half of the draft than the back than we've seen in previous years, I'll say.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think rounds two and three and four are going to be just stacked with Michigan players. I'll say that 16 get drafted and, you know, the other two are quick undrafted free agents. So good enough for the record, you know, good enough to break the record. But we will be back next week to recap exactly how the NFL draft went. That will be exciting. And man, I'm sure we'll have more basketball commits to talk about. And then the football news never really stops. So it was good to see you, buddy. I'm going to go get some rest. I'm exhausted. I've been just running around Ann Arbor today in this chilly weather. And so it's time for me to rest up. That is Matt Hartwell. I am Michael Smeltzer. That was the Big House Bleachers podcast. As always, go blue.
Go blue.